President Biden canceling more student loans. What's the impact on the economy and your pocketbook? That and more coming up on Business Matters. I'm David Lam, standing in for Don today. Investors all have been waiting for its earnings today. NVIDIA announced a 10-for-1 stock split, and it's forecasting above estimate second quarter revenue. Media company BuzzFeed soared today. A filing revealed that former Republican presidential candidate Vivek Ramaswamy has taken an activist stake in the company. Rising U.S. home prices are making it more difficult to afford a home, especially for first-time buyers. Sales for existing homes fell nearly 2% in April. That's according to the National Association of Realtors. It was the second month in a row of falling sales, as mortgage rates surged past 7%. Meanwhile, the median price of a previously owned home in the U.S. grew 5.7% from a year earlier to just over $407,000. It was the fourth consecutive monthly increase and a record for April prices. But there's hope. One shred of good news for housing in the U.S. More homes are continuing to come to market, inventory increasing to a 2.5-year high last month. But entry-level homes remained scarce. Target has missed the mark. The retailer reported quarterly earnings below Wall Street estimates and issued a weaker-than-expected forecast for the current quarter. The reasoning? The head of the company says shoppers are spending less in general and waiting for deals to come by. Target cut prices on hundreds of products, with plans to slash price tags on thousands more essentials. This comes after sales in the so-called frequency categories fell in the first quarter. We're talking about beauty, food, and household essentials. And overall, sales at Target have now been declining for 4 quarters straight. The retailer also reported the average receipt on visits has dropped, and so has traffic. The weaker earnings added to broader concerns that shoppers are tightening with their spending. Buy now, pay later users will have the same protection like credit card users. This is a bid for the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau to impose more oversight on the fast-growing sector, where shoppers pay for purchases in installments. The agency says BNPL lenders will be required to investigate customer disputes, refund products that have been returned, and provide billing statements, the same rules as credit card companies who follow the so-called Truth in Lending Act. Now, these rules will apply to providers such as Affirm, Klarna, and Afterpay. Data shows buy now, pay later loans drove $75 billion in online spending last year, up 14% from the year before. An official said most major buy now, pay later lenders already voluntarily comply with credit card-like protections. But this move should create consistency. President Joe Biden has canceled another $7.7 billion of student loan debt. This latest round of relief impacts 54,000 borrowers enrolled in the White House's Saving on a Valuable Education, or SAVE, plan. They received $613 million in relief. Nearly 67,000 teachers, nurses, or other public sector workers also saw $5.2 billion forgiven through the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Then there were the 39,000 borrowers enrolled in income-driven repayment programs who received $1.9 billion of debt relief. To date, Biden has canceled an average of $35,000 in loans for 4.75 million Americans. To help us understand how canceling student loan debt could affect the economy and your wallet, I spoke to Paul Mueller, Senior Research Fellow at the American Institute for Economic Research. Paul, thank you for joining us. Now, tell us about how student loan forgiveness could affect the economy.
Well, there's a number of ways. The main way that people focus on is as you cancel student debt, these students are going to make fewer payments to the government to repay their loans, and that's going to leave them with more money in their pockets to spend on other goods, consumption goods or investment or other kinds of things. And so a lot of people point to the idea this might increase some consumption spending, retail spending, maybe some investment because students are no longer making the payments on the debt that's been canceled.
So that sounds like it could be a good thing for the economy, but what about the taxes involved? Like, because what's the impact on taxpayers?
Right. Well, this is a transfer that's going on here, and it is a kind of a form of government spending that's going on. That it's what we call stimulative, which seems good, except that in an era of high inflation, it can actually lead to higher prices or encourage higher prices. Again, this is a relatively small amount, the most recent announcement, relatively small compared to the whole economy, but it's a very troubling move by the Biden administration that it's illegal. Because the Supreme Court has already said they can't do this, but they're doing it anyway. It's unethical because it's not Biden's money to give away or to cancel, right? They don't owe Biden the money. They owe the American taxpayer the money, and they're doing it. And it's very political, right? That this is an open attempt to buy votes and influence people for the election in the fall. So there's a lot of reasons to be opposed to this move, even if it's not going to, shift the economy in a tremendous way, one way or another.
Now, in terms of the U.S. national debt, which sits at $34.5 trillion, what's the impact there?
Well, it'll increase it. I mean, this is part of the why we should be so concerned about this move, besides the unethical illegality of it, is it contributes to the national debt in a time when the US government is spending more money than ever, money that they don't have, and the US debt is rising dramatically. You have the administration unilaterally and illegally deciding to increase it, right? Congress didn't authorize this spending, they didn't authorize debt forgiveness. And yet they're going ahead with it anyway. And that is just going to add to the already dramatic and large deficits that are being run each year. And it's going to contribute to that debt level keep rising. And the cost of servicing that debt, the interest we have to pay on the debt, is also rising rapidly. And this, again, just sort of piles on and contributes to that phenomenon.
Right, so you mentioned that there's an issue of authority here. So if Congress Congress finds this illegal and the money's been paid out, what's the next step there?
So I'm not sure there's really a remedy here. And I think this is part of why the Supreme Court struck it down. I think they were concerned about just this problem of, again, this sort of unilateral action being taken that once it's been taken, it's not clear it can be reversed. And so I don't know what the recourse is here other than, Congress maybe reforming how we think about student loans. And this is the broader issue that we should think about as well, which is what the Biden administration is doing is fundamentally undermining the whole idea of student loans and student debt and student. I mean, what good is it to loan money to people? Like, what does the loan even mean if it can be canceled by the whims of a political figure, not by Congress, not by law? And so I think the much deeper problem we should be thinking about is how this is going to change and perhaps undermine future students' ability to borrow money and go to college or university with those loans.
Right, and it's very interesting because it does sound like it could be a good thing for students who have loan debt, but there's a controversy over loan repayment and finances. So, Paul, thank you so much for your insight and for joining us.
Yep, thanks for having me.
TikTok is reportedly planning mass global layoffs within its operations and marketing workforce. That's according to tech publication The Information, citing current employees who have been briefed on the plans. The layoffs are expected to hit teams handling user support and communications, as well as content and marketing, the site reported. The number of layoffs isn't clear, but The Information reported a large percentage of the roughly 1,000 employees in the affected teams could be laid off. China could be hiking tariffs on cars as it faces sharply higher U.S. auto import duties. A government-affiliated auto research group told a local newspaper that China should raise tariffs on large gasoline-powered cars to 25%. Right now, the tariff is 15%. A higher duty for cars with larger engines would mostly impact German makers. The recommendation comes as the European Commission is investigating China-made EVs. The result could lead to additional duties. This would be in addition to steep tariff increases the U.S. has issued on an array of Chinese goods. The U.S. Trade Representative's office said some of the tariffs will go into effect on the first day of August. This includes EVs and their batteries, computer chips, and medical products. China is rolling out their own version of ChatGPT, but content generated by this chatbot is based on the philosophies and writings of Chinese Communist leader Xi Jinping. NTD's John Marshall has more.
CCP leader Xi Jinping's ideology is being put into Beijing's newest AI chatbot. The new chatbot is the rival of sorts to OpenAI's ChatGPT, but filled with Xi's political philosophies and other official literature provided by the Cyberspace Administration of China.
Lots of other companies we know of, the companies like Mistral and Google, everybody's trying to build LLMs. And now we saw ChatGPT come out of China. So people are going to continue doing this.
The chatbot can answer questions, create reports, summarize information, and translate between Chinese and English. But generated content will be heavily influenced by topics deemed consistent with CCP narratives. The creation of the new chatbot comes on the heels of strong efforts by officials to spread Xi's ideas on politics, economics, and culture in China. Officials also required school children as young as 10 to study his political philosophy.
Some of the laws that were passed, like last year in China, where, you know, all technology companies have to now submit their algorithms and, you know, their source code for those algorithms and other things. This is a serious threat to the United States. It's a serious threat to our big tech companies that are U.S.-based, but global firms.
According to Financial Times, the Cybersecurity Association of China released a public database of 100 million entries of what they term as high-quality and trustworthy data for groups to use in AI model training. It's a training set full of CCP regulations and policy documents, state media reports, and other official publications. For now, the new AI model is being used at a research center, but eventually it may be released for wider use. Sean Marshall, NTD News.
And coming up, small businesses spending half of every day complying with regulations. One policy expert told Congress total costs are five times higher under Biden than they were under Obama. Memorial Day is upon us. We take a look at which states offer a better environment for veterans and military families to thrive financially. That and more coming up in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. Amazon is making changes to Alexa, and users of the voice assistant will help pick up the tab. The multinational tech giant is planning to unveil an AI-infused version of Alexa this year. According to CNBC, Amazon will charge its customers a monthly fee to pay for the upgrade. So far, there's no word on how much it will cost. Cars on US roads appear to be in it for the long haul. A new study found American car owners are now holding on to their vehicles longer. This is despite major COVID supply chain disruptions easing and dealership availability up. The study found the average age of US cars and light trucks this year rose to a record 12.6 years. People really love their cars. TJ Maxx parent TJX Co.'s has posted better than expected first quarter results. As a result, it has raised its annual profit forecast. One analyst says the off-price retailer has benefited from wealthy shoppers trading down to cheaper retailers and customers across income levels looking for affordable prices. And the third time was not the charm for the world's largest mining company. Anglo American has given BHP Group a one-week extension to make a fourth takeover offer. BHP has now made three unsuccessful offers to Anglo in a month. The most recent valued the rival at $49 billion. Small business regulatory costs, one policy expert says, are five times higher under Biden than they were under Obama. Lawmakers say small businesses are being crushed. NTD's Virginia Gibson has more on that.
Do people in Washington not know what it takes to run a small business?
The House Committee on Small Business held meeting number 5 Wednesday on how Biden-era regulations burden businesses.
The total costs accumulated by agencies under the current administration is more than five times that of the Obama administration's total.
policy expert Dan Goldbeck said individual rules may individually seem to make sense, but multiple rules combined are overwhelming.
Every agency tends to want to maximize achievement of whatever its special goal is, right? And they tend to
just check in that box.
Yeah, disregard the costs that they incur along the way.
Policy expert Paul Ray said individual agencies don't consider the total impact of their regulations. They're unaware of how much they're burdening small businesses.
I actually spoke to a member of ours earlier this month who said she spends half of each day on regulatory compliance.
Attorney Rob Smith works with the National Federation of Independent Businesses. He said the most common complaint small businesses have is,
I could not even begin to count how many members have told me what I'm about to tell you. The number one thing I hear from members on this issue is, do people in Washington not know what it takes to run a small business? Do they not know the impact of these regulations on me running my business?
Noncompliance is not an option. Policy expert Paul Ray says the consequences are,
well, absolutely devastating. I mean, you could be facing millions of dollars in fines or for regulations involving criminal penalties, jail time.
The fines are larger than the cost of the regulations themselves.
Small manufacturers incur costs of $34,671 per employee per year. $34,671 per employee per year. You got to be kidding me.
Lawmaker Pete Stauber said complying with every single rule costs money. Complicating matters, even removing rules costs money.
When you roll back regulations that businesses have already been complying with, rolling that back places additional burdens on them.
Professor Todd Phillips said regulatory flip-flopping is also harmful. He says businesses need consistency.
Small banks really, really, really dislike when a new administration comes in and starts rolling back everything. They need to update their software. They need to get new software.
Lawmakers are exploring solutions, such as forcing agencies to consider the burden they're imposing on businesses. Virginia Gibson, NTD News.
Memorial Day is upon us. For veterans transitioning from military to civilian life, which states make it easier for military families to adjust and thrive financially? I spoke to Christy Mathern, editor from Wallet Hub, about their latest ranking. Christy, good to see you. Now, according to your latest report, which states are the best for military retirees and why?
The best states for military retirees are South Carolina, Florida, and Virginia. And we looked at 28 key metrics for this study across economic environment, quality of life, and healthcare. And these states are top rated because they have lots of job opportunities for veterans. They're highly rated in numerous VA hospitals, so there's access to veteran-specific healthcare. And they also have low veteran homelessness rates and policies that support veteran hiring preferences. And some of these top states have lots of veteran-owned businesses and generally a high veteran population. And they also have great policies, tax policies on military pensions. That's another big factor.
Yeah, no, definitely. Now, what about some of the worst states and where do they fall short?
Vermont, New Mexico, and Oregon, with Oregon being last overall. These states fall short on a few levels. They either have low job opportunities for veterans, high veteran homelessness rates, or mediocre access to healthcare facilities. And they also, some of them have high veteran suicide rates or a combination of those things.
And Christy, what factors would veterans need to consider in choosing where they want to retire?
Veterans should be looking at state tax policies on military benefits because some states offer tax exemptions on military pensions, which can make a significant difference in your quality of life. Job market friendliness. If a veteran is retiring from the military but wants to do a career change, states that have good job opportunities for veterans or veteran preference in hiring or those types of things that can help them transition into civilian life. Those are all great things. and healthcare access for veterans is a big deal, affordable housing, things like that, things that can keep your costs down as a veteran, and also community and quality of life. So you want to judge your proximity to your family, your social support networks, things like that, overall quality of life, including recreational opportunities and anything they're particularly interested in. That's a good thing to look at when you're deciding to move to a different place or to settle down somewhere.
Right, and for veterans, you know, when they're going from service life to civilian life, which states would you say have a better sense of for opportunity for them to find a new career and a new sense of purpose?
Well, we have a couple of states that are particularly good for that. Connecticut, the District of Columbia, North Dakota, Oklahoma, and Alabama are our top five states for that specifically.
Okay, all right, wonderful. And lastly, what are some sectors where veterans can find career opportunities to start a new career?
Well, veterans can look at government jobs. Many veterans transition to roles within the federal, state, or local governments. Manufacturing jobs are also popular with veterans. They can find employment in various manufacturing industries. Also, professional business services and defense contracting, all of these sectors offer very veteran kind of specific roles that veterans are well suited for. And also security and risk management. These security positions are well suited for veterans coming out of the military.
All right, Christy, thank you so much for your insight and joining us on Business Matters.
Yes, yes, thanks for having us.
All right, this could be a game changer. A new airline catered to dogs is about to take off. Beginning Thursday, Bark Air will carry dogs of all sizes and their human companions on routes from New York, Los Angeles, and London. The airline said its goal is to offer an alternative to traditional air travel, which is often stressful to both the dogs and their owners. But it's not just all Bark. The flights won't come cheap. A one-way ticket for one dog and its owner costs $6,000 for domestic flights and a whopping $8,000 for international flights to go with Man's Best Friend. So that's all we have for you today. Thank you very much for watching. If you have any feedback for the episode, feel free to let us know. You can email us at business@ntd.com. And don't forget, business matters. Goodbye.